Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Welcome back to this series entitled Oasis. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." I have learned over the years that sometimes, don't mind this, I'm expecting a call. I have learned over the years that sometimes an oasis is a place of arrival, a place I get to, and sometimes an oasis is a person. I was a brand new pastor, and I was a brand new pastor by default. I was the only person who would go. I wasn't qualified. I was teaching a Sunday school class in my local church, and there was a small country church a few miles away that there was five people attending. They couldn't get anybody qualified to go, and I was breathing, and I loved the Lord, and I was willing. And so Lindy and I began our ministry there, and it was really kind of where we got the call. We thought we were just going to go fill in for a week or two, and it became a lifetime journey. And there was so much ahead of us. There was so much in terms of schooling. There was so much in terms of our experience. We had very small children. Lindy was working as a registered nurse, which enabled us to do this. And I was working a couple of other part-time jobs. And so we just went, but God began to move. It was so exciting because people began to come, and we were excited about telling the story of faith. And before you know it, we began to have folks show up, and then we broke 30, and it was a big day. And all of this began to happen when one of my laymen, George Crawford, said, "You know what? I've got a friend who's in ministry who I think you should meet. He travels around speaking, and I think if he could come and he could help us here kind of get things started, and I think the folks would love to hear from him." And he goes, "I think you guys would really hit it off." And George was willing to pay for it, and so we did it, right? We brought Nathan Covington into town, and for a couple of days, I just got to know Nathan. He would speak in the evening, and our folks loved him, and he would ask questions. And then we had this moment. It was after one of those services during the early in the week. We were having coffee afterward, and I was just asking questions about ministry. I mean, there was so much, right, that I wanted to soak up from him. And finally, he leaned back in his chair, and he asked me this question. "Where in your spiritual life do you struggle the most?" Now, that's a direct question, right? But he'd earned the right to ask me that question over a few days. And you know, you want to answer this like you do at the job interview when they ask you about your strengths and weaknesses. And your weaknesses are generally, "Well, I commit too much," or "I volunteer too much," right? I didn't do that because I knew where my greatest struggle was. It's my prayer life. And I said, I pray with my kids, I pray with my family, I pray for meals, I pray when I'm with people because you're a pastor and you pray, I pray at church. But in terms of really understanding, and I know prayer works, because if God didn't answer prayer, I wouldn't have been where I was then. I said, I know I'm alive because God answers prayer. I just don't know if it works for me or how it works for me. And then he asked this question. "Why do you think you don't pray?" And I said, "Well, no, I didn't say I didn't pray, right? I'm trying to keep a little bit of my pride, you know. I pray, I just," and he said, "Why do you think you don't pray?" And I said, I'm just learning, and I'm trying to understand, and I don't know." And then he said this, and it changed my life. And it created a relationship that is close to over 30 years old. He said, "I wonder if the reason you don't pray is because you don't really believe it's going to make a difference. I'm like, what? He said, Brian, I've watched you and Lindy. And from the time I got here, you guys have been working. I mean, you've got a family, and Lindy's doing ministry at the church. And he goes, I watch you, you're working two or three jobs. He goes, I'm convinced that if we could find one of those old leather football helmets, you remember those? And put it on your head, and then we found a brick wall, and I told you that if you would run into that brick wall with that helmet on your head, one more person would come to faith. I think you'd do it. And I think what's happened is that there's some things that God wants to reveal. And then Nathan smiled a smile that is kind of like an oasis. Have you ever had anybody do that? Just release attention from a moment, because I was feeling pretty tense. How could I mean, I was a pastor, granted, I was just getting started, but still, how could I have doubts in my mind about whether prayer was going to make a difference? And he smiled and he set me at ease, and we were back on the oasis. And he said, maybe one of the things God sent me here to do is to help you discover your prayer life. And then, because of the way I'm wired, I went right back off of the oasis. Here's what I said. Great. What books do I need to read? What spiritual exercise do I need to do? What principle do I need to learn? Who do I need to talk to? That kind of a thing. And because this is a problem, we solve it. It's a little bit like if I ask you about your golf game and you go, well, you know, my putting needs work. Or if we're talking football, it's our defense, right? That was kind of the way I was approaching it. So let's get with this. What do I need to do? And he just smiled at me. And he said, there's plenty of books to read, and you should, and you will. And there is plenty of spiritual exercises that you can do, and that's a good thing. And there's principles you need to learn. And who you need to talk to is God. But for now, I want you to think a little differently. I want you to breathe, and I want you to relax. Because when I leave here, I'm going to call a few of my friends who helped me pray. The word that he used was intercessors. They've already been praying for you, but now I'm going to ask them to pray specifically that the Lord would help, would reveal himself to you in prayer. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what that means exactly. And then he said, because you have gone as far as you can go with hard work and passion, you're done until you learn how to pray. And we were off of the oasis again. I'm like, and he smiled. You see, there are some things, folks, that can't be worked out. They can't be worked out. There are some obstacles that no amount of determination is going to be able to move. Only God. There are some problems that have no earthly answers. The wisdom that is needed in the moment has to come from God. There is an end to human strength and determination. There's a limit to what a positive mental attitude, good intentions, and the most committed work ethic can handle. And I'm saying that to you because there's some of you watching online and some of you in the room who are the rock of your family. You're the glue that holds everything together. You're the person that everyone goes to. You're the one who somehow is able, in the midst of a difficult moment, to bear the burdens of everybody else. And perhaps you're here or you're watching online and you're at the end. God wants to reveal himself in the place of prayer to each and every one of us. And sometimes it's again. Sometimes it's a reminder because, man, we do get self-sufficient. So he said to me, Brian, here's what I want you to do over the next few days. He goes, I want you to begin talking to Jesus. I'm like, well, should I have like three prayer meetings a day? I'm thinking maybe a half an hour in the morning, half an hour at lunch, half an hour. Maybe I should have 12 and do 15 minutes. He's like, just rubbing his head. I just want you to begin talking to Jesus. And I want you to ask Jesus to teach you to pray. Then I want you to follow the nudges of the Holy Spirit. Now, this theme of oasis is an interesting one because sometimes finding an oasis is about rest and renewal and relaxation. But if you're lost in the desert, finding an oasis is not about rest and renewal and relaxation. It's a matter of life and death. And this issue of prayer is a matter of spiritual life and death. And unless we get to a place where we step into our own prayer life and we discover what God has for us there, with all due respect, you're done. There's only so far we can go. And my kids need me to go farther. My grandchildren need me to go farther. I need to go farther. There is only one thing we have record of that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. And it's not turning water into wine, or walking on the water, or healing the sick, or raising the dead. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And the belief by most theologians is the reason that this is what they ask him to teach is because this is what they knew the key to everything else he did was. 36 times in Scripture, we find Jesus praying. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This is a kind of a different version of the Lord's Prayer, a shortened version. I'm going to stick right with this text today. I'm not going to go to other places because I think for now, I want us just to get this in mind. So there's two parts to his teaching when he's teaching his disciples how to pray. The first is this, the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is a great synchronizer of our spirit with God's. It's a great way to kind of get into it. Have you ever had somebody hand you the phone and they go, "It's for you"? This is back when we had one in the house, right? And it's for you, and you go, "Who is it? I mean, before I get online, I mean, if I get a call in the office and they'll say, 'Pastor, there's a call for you,' I'm like, well, who is it? I kind of want to know who I'm talking to." Or have you ever called someone that you didn't mean to call, and you're like, "Why am I calling this person?" Or dialed a number and forgot why you called somebody. But I got a text last Sunday morning that said, "Hey man, are you going to the parade today? Because the Knights are in." And I'm like, I texted back and said, "I think you might have sent this to the wrong person, but go Knights," right? I mean, you kind of want to be. And this was just a verse or two right here, right? But I want you to think about that. It's a great way, if we're going to understand prayer, it's a great way for us to remember some things. And I'm just going to take it phrase by phrase. "Father, hallowed be your name." We are worshiping our Father. This reminds us of intimacy. It reminds us of God's great love for us. It reminds us that we can come boldly before his throne, but it also reminds us that he is God and we're not. That he is the one who is sovereign. "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come." It's a good thing to remember before I go off into what I'm going to talk to God about, that there is more going on than me. His kingdom is coming. There's a plan. There's a reason. This is an allegiance to God's sovereignty. This is where we would include "your will be done." This is about you. And then the next phrase is, "Give us each day our daily bread." You're our provider. You're the one who is going to watch out for us and care for us. It's okay for us to say, "Lord, you know what I need, and I ask that you would give me what I need for today. Forgive us our sins. ownership, confession, repentance. Sin, unconfessed sin, will clutter up your prayer life and separate you from God. It will draw away. The scripture says that sometimes, and there's a verse in the Old Testament that says that he would not hear because of their sins were in the way. We need to remember. I don't know about you, but whenever I come before the Lord and I say, Lord, just forgive me my trespasses or my sins or my debts or whatever word you want to use, that x-ray always reveals something. That x-ray hardly ever comes back totally clear. It's like God just never goes, you know what, Brian? I was just telling the angels, you're amazing, right? No, usually there's something that he, and so Lord, forgive me, for we also forgive though anyone who sins against us. And you may spend a lot of time praying through this, or just to walk through it is to synchronize and to remind myself of who's on the other end of the lie and what he is doing in my life. And lead us not into temptation. That phrase, the theologians have they write big fat books on that phrase. Because God doesn't tempt us. And so what does this mean? Well, in essence, it means, Lord, I want to go the right way, and I know that I'm going to be tested, but help me to be victorious over temptation. The first part of what Jesus teaches them is this familiar passage of Scripture. And it is a great synchronizer of our spirit with his, and takes only a few moments. And I believe it is a great way to begin prayer time. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Matter of fact, in another translation, it says, then Jesus went on to teach them more. And this translation says, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer them. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, you're just not that close, right? Because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity. Jesus is teaching on prayer. Shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now that's a lot. We went from the Lord's Prayer, right? Very dignified and very structured, to him talking about being 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody's coming and you need, and your shameless audacity. And now we're talking about fathers and scorpions and fish and all of that. Here's what I believe that Jesus is saying in the second half of his teaching here. Here's what I think this is all about. I think he's saying, talk to me. Talk to me. Prayer is communication and communion with God. And communion is kind of a religious word, but it means talking and listening. And one of the things that we learn in this second half of his teaching that is key, and it'll be key to me finishing this story of Nathan Covington and what he taught me that week, is that there's no such thing as a shouldn't bother God moment. He didn't use a life and death story to illustrate. He used the need for bread for a friend in a moment. And sometimes the reason that we don't have faith in the big matters is because we haven't exercised our faith in the small matters. There is no such thing as a shouldn't bother God moment. And that takes some getting used to, because we kind of have God on a schedule when we talk to him, right? And the thought of interrupting a day for ourselves by talking to him. So I've told you this before. I'm pretty proud of it. I'm the finder in the family. When my three children would be convinced that someone had broken into the house and stolen the remote control, somehow I was able to find it. And I learned how to do that early on. I had an appointment at the church. I had a funeral, and people were pulling in, and I couldn't find my keys. And I needed to get to where I was supposed to go because I knew the time was right. It wasn't right next door. It was at the funeral home. And I'm like, Lord, this seems really stupid because you got a lot of other things, but I need to find my keys. And I just learned over the years to exercise our faith in the small matters. There's no such thing. Another thing we learned from this second part of the teaching is that meeting with God is great. Walking with God is what was intended. So, this is my Yay Link phone from my office. And we got these 2 or 3 years ago. We need office phones, right? In case we can't, you know, the cell phone doesn't work or whatever, and we want to make sure that we have these. I've had this 3 years. There's dust on it. I don't know if I've talked to anybody on this thing. It does all kinds of stuff. Most of which I don't understand, and occasionally it will just beep at me for some reason, and I'll be like, hey, and then I'll answer it. I don't talk on it very much, and the primary reason is because we have a cell phone, and the primary reason I prefer the cell phone is this, right? I mean, remember when you had one phone in the home, and this cord at some point in time, if you had a sister, they went and bought one of these. It was 40 foot long so she could go in the bathroom and talk on the phone or whatever. And there was the cord. And I'm bound. And can I even talk on the phone and not walk around anymore? I don't know if I can just sit and talk on the phone. Sometimes this is how we view our meeting with God. I have prayer in the morning. God, it's going to happen. I ask you to do this. You know, help me and thank you and then we're done because there's a cord and we hang up. And we can't stay on the line because this won't reach to work and we'd look foolish carrying it around. You'd need a really long cord. And there are conversations that we're gonna have that we wanna get briefed on, but then when we get in the middle of them, we're still not in the moment of talking with God. This doesn't reach to noon. And sometimes I need correction in the moment. The Apostle Paul talked to us about this. He said, rejoice always, pray continually. I mean, did he mean that we just walk around praying? No. He calls us to an attitude of prayer. Because in the middle of the day, a meeting with God is a beautiful thing. But when you're walking with God, you're cordless. And you're at a place where you can stop in a moment and ask. There are times, I don't understand this. There are times when my wife will say, here's what I need you to go to the store and get. Do you need to write it down? And I will say, I'm not an idiot. You gave me these three things and I know what they are and I repeat them back. And I don't know what happens, but I get to the store and before you know it, I'm on my cell phone going, Do we need, and she goes, didn't say anything about golf balls. Nothing. No, there's no, that's not even in there, right? Because it's just, I don't know, it's hard to track. The same thing happens with us with God. We have our moment with God, and then we go off, and that's not going to get it, ladies and gentlemen. If you allow him to, God will nudge you in the moment. He will speak. And it's not an audible thing for me anyway, but it's just a thought that the Lord, and it is something that you learn. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And he was using that as an example because sheep learn the voice of the shepherd. They don't know it immediately, but over time they learn it. Meeting with God is a beautiful thing. Walking with God is a way to live in a continual openness to prayer. Something else that we learn, asking, seeking, knocking. there's a little wrestling in there. He asks us to stay at this. Asking means engaging. That means a conversation. Seeking means persistence. He told us a story of this friend, and in another place he talked about an unjust judge and how you just gotta keep going. Well, why? Why does God want us to wrestle in prayer? It's not because we're gonna pin him and get what we want. And there's a lot of mystery with that. But you know what? As we walk with him and as we wrestle through issues, often the greatest work that he does is not the work out there, but the work inside of us. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Here's something else that we learn, and now we're off of the oasis again. Prayer does not always feel like an oasis. There's times when we think our morning prayer time should be like a visit with Mr. Rogers or something like that. And instead it's like Conor McGregor shows up, you know. It's tough. Jesus sweat drops of blood when he was praying. This won't be something that just happens magically. And I hope you have moments when the presence of God is so real, and you will, and it'll just be there. And there's other times when you're going to realize that the enemy has done everything he can to block you. He doesn't care what else you do as long as you don't pray. I mean, you can listen to a song, you can watch a video, you can do whatever, just don't pray. The enemy will discourage you. What does it say about God if I ask for something and don't receive it? And what if I ask wrong? The enemy will distract you. And I am very distractible. My mind is just like, I mean, it's incredible. The enemy will attack and accuse you. When he can't keep you from praying, he will say, who do you think you are? Do you remember what you said yesterday? Do you remember what you did yesterday? Do you really think? The enemy will lie to you. And here is, for me, one of the most profound thoughts that has settled into my spirit over the years. And the reason that the enemy tries so hard to block us, and it doesn't feel like an oasis. That's why we should not do it alone. I mean, we do pray alone sometimes, and that's fine. But when you get into this realm, you got to get a friend. You got to get somebody who you can count on. And it's not somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear, but somebody who you can say, hey, I'm struggling. I need someone to pray with me, because two can send 10,000 to flight. Prayer always makes a difference. I didn't say that you will always get what you ask for. I said that based upon my understanding of Scripture, prayer always makes a difference. Look at what he said. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's not necessarily what I asked for. It's the presence of God. And suddenly, what I ask for almost becomes irrelevant. It is the giving of his presence in a moment. You may not, and I don't always see it, I don't always feel it, but I have learned time and time again that sooner or later I find out that prayer made a difference. Sometimes it made a difference in me, and it helped me get on board with what God's will was going to do. Because I was saying, move the mountain, and God was saying, no. I'm saying, move the mountain, no. I'm not going to move the mountain. In Jesus' name, move the mountain. Brian, I'm not moving the mountain. I want you to climb the mountain. Oh. Don't ever let the enemy make you think that your prayers do not matter. They do. Lord, teach me to pray. So here's what I'm challenging you to do. I'm challenging you to do a little bit of what Nathan challenged me to do. He said, I want you to begin talking to Jesus. I want you to ask Jesus to teach you to pray. And I want you to follow the nudges of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to join me on an exercise between now and Easter around these three themes. But let me finish the story with Nathan. So this was early in the week, and I began to wait on some kind of a colossal answer to prayer. I mean, I did. I was trying hard, and I was, you know, and I tell Lindy, I'm going to go to the church, and I don't know when I'm coming home, and I'm just going to be there and pray. And 45 minutes later, I'd be like, I'm home, because it was just a struggle, and I was trying to learn. And Nathan, when I would tell him as we went through the week, you know, I'm just not getting it. He goes, you'll be all right. My intercessors are praying for you. You're going to have a moment. God's going to show you something. Well, the weekends, he leaves town, and I haven't had my moment. That was on a Sunday night. On a Monday, I was at the church because we were starting to build a small addition, just a room off of the church. It was very exciting for us. And some of my guys had taken time off work. And so they take 2 or 3 days off, and we had to do a couple things. We had to get the foundation dug, and we had to get this tree removed. And there was what looked like a small apple tree in the backyard. It didn't seem like a big deal. And one of the guys said, I'll bring my friend's backhoe over, and we'll get that up, and then we'll get started. And so the guys gathered. Now, of the men who gathered, there was Jim and Bob. And Jim and Bob led the project. These were very gifted people. Bob owned his own construction company, a roofing company. And Jim was an executive with a construction company. And these guys, and they loved the Lord, and they loved each other. But how many of you know when you get two strong personalities in the room that are used to doing things their way, sometimes it can get a little tense. And so we met, and there were 6 or 8 of us, and brought the backhoe in, broke the backhoe. I mean, 5 minutes, boom. And Bob says, there's more to that tree than we thought. That's not one tree, Pastor. That's like 2 or 3 trees that are growing up out of the ground. Jim's like, we just need a bigger backhoe. And Bob's like, we don't have a bigger backhoe. And I'm like, hey, we're on vacation, and everybody's going to be fine. And so a moment or two later, they got someone else to bring a backhoe in, and backhoe was there. Boom. I mean, this tree ate backhoes for breakfast. It was not moving. And so then we thought, well, now we're shut down, and we're going to find it. And it's in the middle of August or construction season. You can't get anything. What we really need is a cherry picker. And I'm like, why do we need a cherry picker? It's an apple tree. And so it just got more. And then we look up, and the mayor of the little town of 50 in Illinois is driving their big backhoe down the street. He had gotten wind that we were having trouble. And he said, hey, Pastor, we're going to use the town's backhoe. I'm like, yeah, we're going to use it. Down. Boom, broke it in about 30 seconds. And now we're in trouble. Bob and Jim are starting to, I told you that wouldn't work. And we shouldn't do it. And in the middle of this, my friend Patrick shows up. Now, Patrick was a new guy. He had come to church. He lived next door to the church in this little house. And Patrick was not a construction guy. Patrick was a hugger. He just loved people and loved the Lord. And he bebopped in. He had coffee for people. He, hey, what's going on? I'm saying, Patrick. And he liked to talk. He just liked to talk and hug and high five. And he said, hey, how's it going? And I said, well, we're having a little bit of problem, Patrick. And Jim and Bob are looking at Patrick like, and they're like, okay, everything. And so Patrick says, Pastor, can I talk to you? And I'm like, sure. And he says, we just need to get everybody in a circle and pray about this. And I'm like, well, I'm a pastor. Okay. I hadn't thought about that. We can get everybody in a circle. And we got everybody in a circle, and he had to hug everybody first. And Jim didn't want to hug, and Bob didn't want to hug, and I didn't want to hug. And he says, let's join hands. I'm like, oh, man, I join hands. Bunch of sweaty men trying to think. And Patrick prayed this short prayer. Lord, you know we got a problem out there. We need to get this thing out of the ground, blah, 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 blah. And just help us to make it happen. And I said, Pastor, you pray now. And I didn't even feel like I should. Like, I should repent. I'm like, yeah, what Patrick said, Lord, we know. Patrick high-fived everybody and left. And Jim said to Bob, do you remember so-and-so? Did you ever know him? Yeah, he used to own a construction company, yeah. He had a cherry picker. He goes, yeah, I haven't talked to him in 20 years. I don't even know if he's alive. He goes, I don't either, but I just thought about him. And then Bob goes, you know, I know a guy who knew him. 2 hours later, they were unloading that massive piece of machinery off of a semi. And 2 hours and a half later, there it was, up and out of the ground. And I went into my office and I said, oh, this is how God wants to show me something. We cut that thing up and my dad finished them and we put little plaques on it that said, from Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now here's what I'm asking you. I'm gonna challenge you. What stump have you been dealing with? What issue? What thing have you been dealing with? Between now and Easter, I'm gonna challenge you to do this. Begin talking to Jesus. And this may be a kind of just a renewal thing for you, or this may be your moment where it's like, man, I've never had that kind of relationship. Talk to Jesus. In the morning, afternoon, when you hit a problem, when you lose your keys, talk to Jesus. Ask Jesus to, Lord, teach me to pray and follow the nudges that he gives you. If you're willing to do that, whether you're watching online or you're in this room, I'm going to require some movement out of you. I want you to send me an email to bwangler5@gmail.com, which is my email address, and I want to pray with you. I will acknowledge your email. I will ask you if there's any special way that we can pray. And together, you and I, over the next few weeks, are going to ask God to reveal to you his willingness to move. He's not a vending machine. This isn't us making God do something. We're not strong-arming God. This is us discovering what God wants to do in us through this commitment. And then, on the 24th of March, which is a Thursday night, at 7 p.m., we're going to have a Zoom meeting, and you got to be in the group to do it. You say, well, that's not fair. I know. I just made the rule. It just is. If you're in this group, we're going to meet with Nathan at 7 p.m. on that night in a Zoom meeting, and I want you to hear from the voice of the one who became a lifetime mentor to me with regard to prayer. You can join the call and not say a word. You're not going to be asked to pray. And my emails to you, I'm not going to push you. I mean, literally, those three things are what I'm going to ask you to do. And if there's some way I can pray with you, you can register for that by sending me an email at bwanger5. I'd like the band to come out. Because there's a phrase, you know, it's time to get a life, right? Well, for me, it was time to get a prayer life. And it's been a learning process over and over and over. The band is going to play a song I'd like you to think about and respond to. God, if God were to move a mountain in your life, what mountain would you like him to move? I'd like you to think about that. Where in your spiritual life do you struggle the most? And are you ready for God to teach you to pray? In these few moments, listen and see what God would have you do. Father, would you move upon us now? In these moments, I pray and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.